The following sermon is presented by Maranatha Bible Church of Comstock Park, Michigan. For more information, go to mbcmi.org.
The rest of us, let's open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. So please open your Bibles to the 6th chapter of Ephesians as we continue in our series that we've entitled The Master's Plan for Parenting. We're in this short series that we're trying to understand God's design for the family, particularly as it relates to parenting, to children and their responsibilities towards parents and parents and their responsibilities towards children. You'll remember that we said that in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 18, it says, "You should not get drunk with wine, but instead you should be filled by the Holy Spirit." And then Paul, wanting us to understand what that looks like, fleshes that out for us in the context of relationships. And so he tells us what a spirit-filled wife looks like in chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. He tells us then what a spirit-filled husband looks like at the end of chapter 5. He continues with that theme without really a break at all in chapter 6 by telling what spirit-filled children look like and then what spirit-filled parents look like. Then in verses 5 to 9 of chapter 6, what spirit-filled slaves and what spirit-filled masters look like. And so in the context of chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, we have God's instructions for the family. God's instructions for parenting, for parents and children. And we said the last couple weeks that this is one of the only places in Scripture which specifically addresses children. This and Colossians 3, verse 20 are really the only specific passages in the Word of God directly designed for children. So all you kids here, you need to pay attention and listen up very carefully because this is God's instructions to you. For the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at verse 1 of chapter 6. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Literally, it means children, you need to place yourself under and listen to your parents. Literally, to listen under. To place yourself under their authority so that you're listening to them toward the ends of obedience. You remember last week, we talked about the role of the heart in this. And we said that as parents, we do not want to raise Pharisees. We don't want to raise little legalists who just obey on the outside but have no heart of obedience. And that can happen so easily, especially in the church, where we want children to be well-mannered and well-behaved and conduct themselves in an appropriate manner. We want well-behaved children. And so we enforce standards of conduct that are easily, in some cases, obeyed by children without the heart. We don't want to raise Pharisees. We don't want to raise little legalists. And so we talked about the attitude behind that, the attitude of respect and honoring the Lord from the heart. So in verse 1, we have the action that God expects of children. Verses 2 and 3, which we're going to look at today, describes the attitude behind that action. Verse 1, obey. Verses 2 and 3, respect. And both of those go together as verse 1 describes the outward action and verses 2 and 3 describe the inward attitude. Look at verses 2 and 3 say. Paul writes, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." Here God tells us exactly what he expects of children. He expects of them to have an attitude of reverence, an attitude of respect and honor for their children. And the reason he does this is because, as we just said, it's easy at times to obey outwardly without the heart. And so children need to be taught to obey from the heart, to respect their parents, to honor their parents, to revere their parents, because a right act with a wrong attitude is nothing but hypocrisy, right? You may have the right acts, you may do the right behavior, but springing from an improper heart is nothing but hypocrisy. And so God wants children to obey, but not just externally. He wants them to obey with an attitude of reverence. So we come this morning to verses 2 and 3. And what I find is that this passage is as relevant today as the day it was first written. You know when this was written. It was written in the first century A.D., about 2,000 years ago. And Paul's instructions for us are as relevant today as the day they were first written. And specifically, Paul here is quoting from the Old Testament. You'll know that this is a quotation from the Fifth Commandment and the Ten Commandments. And so, originally, this passage was written in the 15th century B.C. And so what we have right here is a command and instruction that goes back 3,500 years. And yet it's as relevant today as the day it was first written. That shows us that human nature doesn't change. It shows us that the condition of the human heart is the same. And the situation in the families is the same as today as it was 3,500 years ago. And you know as well as I do that this is crucial. That children today need to be taught to be respectful, to honor parents. And we're living in a day today when oftentimes that's not the case. We're living in a day where parents seem to be fading in terms of their being respected by their children. We live in a day of rebellion and anarchy in the home. And we've talked about this over the last few weeks and months, that in many cases, in many places in the home, there is not a spirit of respect. There's a spirit of rebellion. It started back in the 1960s. Some of you are old enough to remember that. You lived through those years. And we're not blaming you, by the way, but we're just saying that's when it happened. Okay? There became this attitude of disrespect for authority back in the 60s. And you rebelled against any kind of institutional authority, specifically your parents. And that is carried over to today. And we are reaping the consequences of a society that has thrown off an attitude of respect towards authority. You can turn on television shows and you can see parents being portrayed as incompetent. And in those same shows, children are encouraged to be irreverent towards those authorities in their lives. Instead of giving respect today, young people now demand it. And no one is telling people today to respect your parents. Go get a teen magazine or a preteen magazine and open it and begin reading the articles. And nowhere will you find in that magazine an exhortation to go seek out your parents. You won't find it. Movies don't encourage this. Their peers certainly don't encourage this. Music doesn't encourage it. And we've all been in the store where we've watched kids be disrespectful to their parents. And we just want to step in, don't we? We just want to step in and say something and do something because we know it's wrong. And so we're living in a day when there's so much disrespect and dishonor for authority, but specifically within the home. One of the greatest illustrations, or actually the worst illustrations of this, is this whole emancipation thing. Have you heard about this? Parents now are, or children are now enabled today to emancipate themselves from their parents, to, in a sense, get a legal divorce from their parents. All states, all 50 states, have legal laws that permit children to emancipate themselves or liberate themselves from their parents. It's a formal decree that removes them from their parents' influence. That goes against everything Scripture says. Scripture says you keep the family together. And Scripture says you encourage those relationships within the home and you promote unity there and you promote an understanding in a teaching environment where children understand this. And yet we have laws that encourage the exact opposites of children to emancipate themselves from their parents. So perhaps more than ever, we need these instructions and we need God's understanding of what a proper attitude is towards father and mother. I remember being taught respect, as you probably do. I remember being taught by my parents to be quiet when they were talking and to be respectful if I had to interrupt, to never talk back to them, to not respond to them in a spirit of anger, to not question them or argue with them, to look in their eyes when they were speaking. I remember being taught those things. I remember those things being reinforced in school as well. I still distinctly remember second grade, Mrs. Kemp. I said something to Mrs. Kemp that must have been very disrespectful. I don't remember what I said, but I just remember her being very upset at me at what I said. And I remember her still taking a paper towel and folding it up and smothering it with soap and putting it in my mouth. And she said, "Young man, start chewing." Still remember. I think I blew bubbles the rest of that day. But why? What was the... You see, at that point in that day, we were enforcing this expectation of respect for authority. And what she was calling me to do was exactly what my parents were calling me to do, to respect authority, to honor them. And it's this attitude of respect that God calls here for us to have towards our father and our mother. Now, before you tune out, I don't want you to think that this is just for the little kids in the audience, because all of us have a father and a mother. Every single one of us sitting here has a mom and a dad. Every single one of us has been raised in a family. And God is calling every single one of us to have this attitude of honor and respect towards our parents, towards our mom and dad. And it's crucial in every family. It's crucial in the heart of every one of us sitting here this morning that we should have an attitude of respect towards our parents all of our lives. It starts in youth, and yet it's something that has to continue all the way into our adult life. It's true we outgrow the responsibility to obey our parents once we leave home, establish our own families. Certainly the expectation is not that we have to obey them anymore once we establish our own homes. But Scripture is going to be very clear that we as adults even need to honor our parents. Even after they've gone, we still need to honor them. We never outgrow the obligation to honor our father and mother. Now, I know in saying this, that some of you may find this somewhat a particularly difficult topic. Because of sin in the world, there are probably some of you who've been raised in homes where mom and dad weren't very respectable or weren't very honorable or didn't garner much of your respect. Perhaps you grew up in a home where you were abused or you were verbally assaulted by your parents' tongue and how they berated you. Maybe you grew up with an absent father or an absent mother, or you grew up in a home where your parents didn't show you much love or much affection or much tenderness, and you felt more like an unwanted entity in that home than a welcome child. Some of you didn't grow up in a home with any Christian influence, without any sort of spiritual guidance from your mom and dad. And perhaps coming to a message like this is more difficult than most of us realize, where instead of conjuring up images and reminders of your blessings as a child, you are reminded of the problems in your home and the problems in your family. And I want to be sensitive to that this morning. I understand that when we talk about honoring father and mother, this can be a difficult topic for many. And so we want to be sensitive to that. We want to understand that because of sin, many of you have suffered the consequences of a home where mom and dad were not respectable. And yet at the same time, we need to honor God's word. And we need to say what God's word says. And we need to speak very firmly and clearly about what the word of God says about this issue of honoring father and mother. So let's do that this morning. I want to show you two truths about honoring parents. They're very simple. They're going to come from verses 2 and 3. Number one is to honor your parents with a respectful heart. And number two is to enjoy the blessings of a respectful heart. Both of these truths will come right from these verses. And so let's look at these together. First, number one is to honor your parents with a respectful heart. Look at verse 2. Paul says, honor your father and your mother. Very simple. This is not a hard command to understand. This is not a difficult command to try and interpret. It's very simple, very straightforward, very easy to understand what he's saying. Honor your father and your mother. And what he's doing here, as we said, is he's going beyond just mere outward obedience. He's going beyond just the external behavior or conduct. He's talking here about an attitude of the heart. It's the inward motivation or the inward attitude that you have towards your father and towards your mother. You're to give them deep respect. You're to show them appreciation. You're to esteem them. You're to highly regard them as the positions of authority that God has placed them in. You're to love them. You're to show them consideration. This is what he's talking about. The word honor is here the word timao, and it means to estimate or to value or to assess at a certain price. What he's talking about here is assigning value to something or recognizing the inherent value of something precious. That's the idea. When you honor something, you esteem it because it has value. And that's what he's saying here. You look at your parents and you look at the value that they have, and they all have value, and you esteem them for that value. You honor them for that value. You respect them. You reverence them. You hold them in awe. You prize them. This is an attitude that we're to have. It's the same attitude that Christ has towards his Father. Think about this. In John chapter 8, verse 49, it says, Jesus said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my father. Jesus, same word, honored his father. He respected him. He had a high estimation of his father and accordingly valued him highly. We as well are to value the Son. The same word for honor is used in John 5:23, so that we all honor the Son even as they honor the Father. So we are to honor the Son, that's Jesus Christ. We're to honor him with the same sort of attitude of respect and value and reverence. We're to honor kings and those in authority as well. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Have an attitude of respect and reverence towards those in authority over us. So you can see how this word is used throughout Scripture. Christ honors the Father. We are to honor Christ, and we're to honor those in authority and government over us. It's that same attitude that Paul captures here when he says, honor your father and your mother. Now, as I said, this is a quotation from the fifth commandment. You can see it in your scriptures. Probably it's said in different texts or italicized or somehow set apart to show you that this is a quotation from the Old Testament, the fifth commandment. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 is very similar stated. Honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. It's repeated in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, verse 16. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And so here's a fifth commandment, which Paul quotes from here in Ephesians chapter 6. As we said a couple weeks ago, this is the first commandment in the relational commandments. Now, pay attention, this is very important. You remember when Jesus was asked, what are the most important commandments? He boiled all the commandments down to two. Greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, number one. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. You can boil all of the Ten Commandments down into those two commandments. And commandments 1 through 4 pertain to the commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Commandments 5 through 10 pertain to the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself. The first commandment in the relational commandments, number 5, is the command to honor your father and your mother. That's important. That's very important because what Paul is telling us, or actually what Moses was telling us, or what God was telling us through these men, is that the command to honor your parents is a foundational relational command. It is the relationship that defines all other relationships. He goes on to say, do not covet, do not commit adultery, do not murder. Well, where do you learn those things? You learn them in the home. You learn them in your relationship with your parents. And so it is this relationship, this fifth commandment, that's really the bridge between the commandments, between the vertical relationship that we have with God and the horizontal relationship that we have with others. It is there in the home, in this relationship between children and parents, that we learn the basis, the foundational elements of all other relationships. Tells us something's very important about this command. If you go back to the Hebrew, I've told you what the Greek word honor means. If you go back to the Hebrew of Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, where it says, honor your father and mother, in the Hebrew, the word is kavod. And that's important because the Hebrew word kavod is the word for glory. It's the word for glorify. And so when we see in the Old Testament scriptures God being glorified, or remember when Moses said, show me your glory, that's the word that's used. God is a God of glory. He's got a weightiness to him. And that's what the word kavod means. It's a word that means weightiness or substance. In that day when someone had a lot of money, their wealth was measured in terms of gold or silver or material possessions. They were said to be heavy. They're heavy with gold, they're heavy with silver, they're weighted down because they've got all these material possessions. There's a substance to them, and they were respected in the community because of their vast wealth and their vast worth. They were heavy. Well, God is heavy. God is heavy with his attributes. He's heavy with his glory. He's heavy with his virtues. He's heavy with his character, his sovereignty, his power, his might. He's heavy with his attributes. And so when we ascribe glory to God, we are saying, God, you are worthy of worship. You are worthy of praise. You are worthy of adoration because there's substance to you. You have weightiness. That's the word that's used here. Glorify your father and mother. Ascribe to your father and mother glory in the same way that we do with God. No, obviously God is distinct and God is unique and only him deserves that kind of worship and praise and adoration because only he has those kind of attributes. He's the creator. We are the creation. But the attitude is the same. We ascribe to our parents glory, weightiness, value. And we assign to them a proper place in our life. Ephesians 6, verse 2 says, honor your father and mother. You honor your father and mother. You're to speak kindly to them. You're to demonstrate an attitude of respect toward them. You're to submit to them. You're to be teachable toward them. You're to honor them and value them and respect them and be thankful for them because they are your parents. We need to say something about that. Because sometimes we've had that mentality that, God, why did you give me these parents? And we look at other people's parents and we wish, if I'd only had those parents, if I'd only had been raised in that kind of home, if I only had the privilege of being raised by that mom and that dad. And we have this mentality where we start to think maybe God wasn't good to us because we had these parents. And yet here is a very clear statement, honor your father and mother, which means God in his sovereignty has given you the best parents possible. Right? When you think of that way, God didn't make a mistake in your parents. God didn't slip up and say, oh, that one was supposed to go with that one. He doesn't do that. God in his sovereign plan has placed you in the family that you're in, and he calls you to honor your father and your mother. You have the best parents in God's design for you to have. He didn't mess up. Maybe it's not ideal. Maybe it's not the best family circumstances. Maybe it's not the best environment that you were raised in. And certainly sin affects all of that. But in God's plans and purposes, he gave you the best parents for you. This is important. We need to honor our parents. Now, let me just review what I said a couple weeks ago. How important is this? This was so important in the Old Testament, in the Israelite culture, that God specifically said over and over and over again, if you curse your parents, or if you do something to demonstrate a heart of rebellion or disrespect to them, you are to be cursed yourself. You are to experience capital punishment for a heart of disrespect. Let me remind you of some of these verses. Exodus chapter 21, verse 15 says, he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. You strike your father or your mother physically, or you curse them verbally, God says you're worthy of capital punishment. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, every one of you shall reverence your father and your mother and shall keep my Sabbaths. Literally, you should fear your father and your mother. Have a heart of respect and honor of them. Leviticus chapter 20 says, if there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother. His blood guiltiness is upon him. You see, over and over and over again in the Old Testament, God reinforces this to his covenant people that he wants them to honor authority. Because if they don't, then what you have is a seed established within the community of Israel that's going to spread to others, which is going to destroy the covenant community of Israel. So God says in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 18 to 21, we saw this a couple weeks ago, if any man is a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and his mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gateway of his hometown, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst and all of Israel will hear of it. You see how serious God takes this? Now, as I said a couple of weeks ago, we have no record that that actually happened. You know, you don't eat your piece of manna for the morning and have a bad attitude about your breakfast, then you go get stoned. That's not the way it worked. This is talking about a stubborn, rebellious, consistently disobedient child. And God said there are grounds for capital punishment. We don't know it actually ever occurred, but the point is well taken. God takes this very seriously. And such is the case here in Ephesians chapter 6. Honor your father and your mother. I want you to notice a couple things about this. First, I want you to notice it says, honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. A couple things to say about that. This is God's design for the family. Not a father and a father. Not a mother and a mother. Not a father or a mother or a mother or a father. God's design for the family is a father and a mother. Okay? Now, I understand. Let me say it very clearly. I understand there are some cases where that's not the case. Where because of whatever choices have happened or whatever has happened in a family, there's divorce, there's certain situations where this is not the design, and we want to be very sensitive to that. We want to be very gracious again and say that God can still work in your family if that's not the case. God can still work through that, and God can still accomplish His purposes even when it's not the ideal. But we have to say that this is God's ideal. The father and the mother. And he says, obey your father, or honor your father and your mother. He says father first because fathers are the ones in the places of spiritual authority and spiritual leadership. We're going to see that down in chapter 6, verse 4. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. You see, the father is the one who's placed in a position of authority in the home. And mothers are placed right beside that. It's a partnership. One's not more important than the other. God has sovereignly ordained mothers and fathers to work together in the shepherding of their children. And so children, you need to listen very carefully. God calls you to honor both. Not one or the other, but both. Which means there's no favorites. Oftentimes, kids maybe grow up thinking they really like one parent more than the other. They get along with one parent more than the other. And so there's a favoritism towards one parent, and their heart is maybe inclined more towards honoring one parent as opposed to the other parent. But Paul nixes that, and he says, no, you've got to honor both. Both are placed in a position of authority over you. God calls you to respect both mom and dad. Very important. We know the dangers of favoritism. We know it from the opposite side. We know it from parents having favoritism of their kids. Just read the book of Genesis, right? Remember what happened when Isaac favored one son over the other. And we know what Jacob learned from that process. He ended up favoring Joseph over the other, and it got Joseph thrown in a pit and sold into slavery. Favoritism is devastating to a family, both ways. Parents, when you have favorites amongst your children, or if you in any way indicate a favoritism towards one of your kids, it will have a devastating effect upon them. But the flip side is also true. Children who honor father or mother over the other also will bring great consequences upon the family. Notice, secondly, I also want you to notice that there's no if here. Notice it doesn't say honor your father and mother if they're believers. If they're worthy of your respect. Honor them if you think they're right. Honor them only when you're young? No, it doesn't say that. Honor them only if it's in your best interest? No, it doesn't say that. There's no if here. There's no qualifications here. There's no asterisk. There's no exception clause, no footnote here. It's period. Honor your father and your mother. Simple, straightforward, honor your parents. Now, some of you, as I said earlier, may be thinking at this point, you don't know my parents. You have no idea what I was raised with. You don't know the home environment that we were raised in. You don't know the conditions of our home. You don't know how we were treated. You don't know what my dad did to us or what my mom did to us. And I understand that that's probably a very realistic response for some who are hearing a message like this. What do you do? How do you put that into practice when you've been raised in a home where you haven't had parents who are respectable or honorable? How do you respond to that? Well, you got to uphold the command. So you got to give your parents some grace. You've got to give them some forgiveness. And you've got to find something in them and pick out an area where you can actually honor them. Every person's got something that you can honor them for. So if this is you and you've been raised in a home where you don't feel like you can do this, you've got to find something where you can honor them in and ask God to cultivate your heart for them in that area. Very important. No ifs. It's a comprehensive command. Honor your father and your mother. How do you do this? How do you teach children to honor you? Well, let me give you just a preview again of verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." The way you teach your kids to respect you is through two methods, two means, two tools in your toolbox that God has given you as parents. Number one, discipline. Number two, instruction. That's how you teach them. And you employ both of those in concert with one another. You use discipline in conjunction with instruction to teach your children the importance of respect. And that's necessary because children won't naturally do it. Right? We're not bent towards respect. We're not bent towards obedience. And so God has given us the tools of discipline and instruction. We're going to talk about discipline in a couple weeks. You know as well as I do that we're living in a country where it's being pressed to make spanking your child illegal. There are countries around the world where it's already illegal in the entire country. And yet God has given us a very important tool here in discipline to help teach our children to respect us. Proverbs 3. Verses 11 and 12, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights." It's loving to discipline. It's loving to extend corporal discipline to your child. Not in anger, not abusively, but it's loving to do that. Proverbs 10, verse 13, "On the lips of the discerning, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks understanding." Don't you love the word of God? It tells you exactly where to apply the rod, to the back. And you know God's given a little extra padding back there for that reason. That's why. It's what he says. You apply it to the backside of your child who lacks understanding. That's what that padding's for. Proverbs 22, verse 15, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of discipline will remove it far from him." There's foolishness in the heart of our children. And part of that foolishness is a bent towards disrespect, a bent towards rebellion. It comes with a fall. It comes with a curse. And yet our job as parents is to lovingly apply the rod in discipline to drive that foolishness out of their heart. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, "The rod and the reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother." You want to be shamed as a parent? Don't discipline your child. It will bring you great shame, great embarrassment, great humiliation, and great sadness upon you and your family. Just don't discipline them. Coupled with that is the importance of instruction. Teaching your children the importance of respect, teaching them the importance of honoring you, showing them from Scripture the importance of having a respectful attitude towards you as mom and dad and towards authority in general. So let me give you very specifically 5 areas you need to specifically teach your children to be respectful in. Right? Very practical. Let me give you some implications of how you're to instruct your children. First, you're to instruct them to have a respectful attitude. Starts with a respectful attitude. Remember the importance of the heart? We talked about this last week. It starts in the heart. It's not something you can force upon the child in terms of their external behavior. It's got to start in the heart. And so you teach them to have a respectful attitude. And when they demonstrate a DRA, that dirty, rotten attitude, you instruct them. I told you before, we use the 4 D's in our disciplining of our children. Disobedience, discontent, dishonesty, and disrespect. There's verses that go with each one of those. Disobedience, Ephesians 6:1. Disrespect, Ephesians 6:2. Discontent, Philippians 2:14. And dishonesty, Colossians 3:9. Those are occasions when we have to apply loving discipline and instruct our kids. One of them being a disrespectful attitude. Secondly, respectful words. You have to teach them to have respectful attitudes. Secondly, you must teach them to have respectful words. You want to teach your children to use words towards you as mom and dad that demonstrate a heart of respect. And so words are a communication of the heart. Jesus said that. Out of your heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you're teaching your child to be respectful, you must teach them to be respectful in their words. Yes, Dad. Yes, Mom. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Please. Not telling you or allowing your child to call you by your first name. I think that's important. As parents, we need to show kids and teach them to be respectful towards us and other adults by not using first names. Sometimes people come to our home and they'll say, you can just call me this. You can call me Bob and this is Sue. No, we tell our kids, no, don't call them Bob and Sue. We want you to call them Mr. and Mrs. That's important. I think I told you before, one of my daughters was trying to get my attention once. She said, Daddy, Daddy. For some reason, I wasn't listening. Daddy. I just wasn't hearing her. She just kept pressing, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy. And finally, she says, Hey, Todd. Got my attention. You know, so there's some cases where that's kind of funny. We allow that. But on a normal basis, we want to teach our kids to be respectful with their words. To use words that are appropriate and edifying and demonstrating a heart of respect. What about when they get older and they disagree with you? It gets harder as they get older, but what you want to do is you want to encourage them to come to you and make an appeal to you. Don't just say no. Let them make an appeal to you. Let them make a biblical appeal to you. Listen to their appeal and allow them to make a case for their desire, and listen to that and take that into consideration. But in all of that, their words are to be respectful. Respectful attitude, respectful words. Thirdly, respectful tone of voice. I want to teach children to have a respectful tone of voice. Not sarcastic, not insincere, not half-hearted answers, not mumbling, not angry outbursts, not raising their voice. But a respectful tone of voice. Respectful manners, fourthly. Respectful attitude, respectful words, respectful tone of voice. Fourthly, respectful manners. Looking in people's eyes when they talk. Shaking their hands with a firm grip. You know, we don't want to teach our kids to be limp-wristed, cold fish handshakers, right? You look in their eyes, you say hello, and you give them a firm handshake. Right? That's important. That shows respect. Opening doors for others, not interrupting when they're talking. All these things are important, the manners that we teach our children to demonstrate respect. Fifthly, a respectful appearance. This is important as well. Respectful attitude, words, tone of voice, manners. Fifthly, a respectful appearance. I think it's important to teach our kids to dress appropriately. I know we live in a day and age where that's not considered important anymore, but it's important. Dress communicates respect. So teach your kids to be respectful in their appearance, to be modest, to be appropriate. Every time I see those pants hanging down to the knees, I just want to go up there and just rip them up or down. I don't know which one. Pull your pants up. We want to teach respect for authority. So these are some things that you can do to instruct your children in the process of being respectful and honoring you as parents. Now, parents, let me address you for a moment. Because you have a huge role in this as well. Because you're part of this. And how you desire this respect and how you communicate your desire for respect has a huge part in whether your children respect you or not. So this is not just something you can go to as parents and say, you need to respect me, you need to honor me, better do it now or there's going to be some consequences. See, as parents, we have a huge part in how we communicate this need for respect. You can do it harshly. with force. You can demand it from them. You can use your position of authority. You can raise your voice. You can wield your heavy hand. You can shout. You can force them into respect. But you can never bad attitude a child into a good attitude. You have to be very concerned about that kind of approach, because a disrespectful attitude will never garner respect from your child. The flip side is you can do this very lovingly, very graciously, very kindly, very patiently. You can approach your children as a human being, as someone made in God's image, and you can approach them desiring their respect and showing them the love that they desire in the process. You want respect. They want love. So show them the love that they desire, and they will respect you in the attitude that you're hoping for. How you approach this is important. Are you a model of respectability? Do your children honor you because you garner that from them? Because you demonstrate a heart of love towards them and patience toward them and gentleness toward them? If you're that kind of parent, chances are your child's going to respect you. But if you demand it and you force it and you raise your voice, you're going to perhaps raise a child that is disrespectful, because that's the attitude that you're demonstrating to them. You need to be a model of respect. So how do you talk about authority? How do you talk about the authority in your life? How do you talk about your parents? How do you speak about those in authority over you? The police, the government, the referees. We've all been at the soccer games, haven't we? The baseball games, when you've got a radical father in the stand who's calling out the ref or the ump. How dare you make that? How could you make that call? And everyone there is just kind of cowering, and you can see the child just wanting to dig a hole and go into it. Hear, hear. You're an ump. You know this. We've seen that happen, and it just demonstrated a heart of disrespect towards authority. So how do you, as a parent, demonstrate respect for authority in your life? Because what you demonstrate, your kids will catch. Much more is caught than taught. So, parents, are you a model of respect towards your kids? And how you deal with your parents, their grandparents, I think is very important. Your attitude towards your parents sets a tone for your children to respond to that attitude and how you parent them. Just as a footnote to this, I think one of the greatest ways we can show honor and respect to our parents is as they get older, we offer to care for them. We care for them in their old age. They spent 20-some years caring for us. We should return the favor and care for them in their old age. And I believe that this is one of the ways that Scripture even identifies a way to respect your parents. If you look over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, I know the context is widows, but it says this, listen to this. Honor widows who are widows indeed, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, they must first learn to practice piety in regard to their own family and to make some return to their parents. For this is acceptable in the sight of God. It's acceptable in the sight of God to care for your parents as they get older. Now, how you do that, and there's all kinds of possibilities, I understand that. But the bottom line is, do you have a heart of respect towards them as they get older? 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. We usually use it in the context of, men, you got to provide for your family. But that's not the context. The context is actually caring for your widowed mother who is unable to care for herself and needs some help from you. And he says, if you're not willing to do that, you're worse than an unbeliever. 1 Timothy 5:16, if any woman who is a believer has dependent widows, she must assist them, and the church must not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are widows indeed. Do you care for your parents? You demonstrate a heart of respect toward them, because whatever attitude you demonstrate towards your parents will probably be the attitude your children respond to you. So, we need to honor our parents with a respectful heart. Number two, very quickly, enjoy the blessings of a respectful heart. You can enjoy the blessings of a respectful heart. There are blessings that come from this. There are blessings that when you have this attitude and you teach your children to have this attitude, there will be tons of blessings that come back upon you. You can see them in verses 2 and 3. Look what he says. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You want to teach your children to be blessed by God? Teach them to respect you. Teach them to honor you, because with that obedience and with that heart comes God's blessing. He says here in verse 2, this is the first commandment with a promise. What does that mean? Some have said, well, not really, because commandments 2 and 3 kind of had a promise to them. And that's not really technically true, because they're not really a promise. It's more of a threat. So the second commandment says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers and the children in the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. It's a threat. It's not a promise. It's a threat. Third commandment says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. That's not a promise. That's a threat. The fourth commandment, the command to keep the Sabbath, comes with all kinds of instructions on how to do that. So really, the first commandment with a promise is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. You want to live long and prosper? Take me a minute. My fingers don't go that way. You want to live long and prosper? You respect your parents. Because that's what Paul is saying here. With honoring your parents comes both. You live long and you prosper. That's what he's saying in verse 2 or 3. That it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now in the original commandment, back in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, there was a promise about the land. Listen to this. Exodus 20, honor your father and mother that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord God gives you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, honor your father and mother as the Lord God commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, that may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You see, in the original commands, there was an attachment of the land to the promise. The promised land. And certainly we understand that, because God was promising his people who had no land, who were coming out of the land of Egypt, who were wandering through the wilderness and who came into the promised land, that their blessings of obedience and their blessings of God upon them were attached to the land. If they wanted to stay in the land, they would need to honor their parents. Paul quotes the same commandment without the reference to the land, because the church has no stake in the land of Israel. That makes sense. So he omits that. He just says that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So what are your blessings if you honor your parents? There's two. You have a quality of life and you have a quantity of life. You have a quality of life, that it may be well with you. You want your life to go well? Do you want God's blessing upon your life? Honor your parents. I can't resist. Go over to Proverbs real quickly. Proverbs chapter 1. I want you to see that this is one of the key parts of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, hear my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Why? Why should you honor your father's instruction and your mother's teaching? Verse 9, they will be a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. That's a way of saying you will be blessed. You'll be blessed by God because of your obedience to your parents. Go over to chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, and you make your ear attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding, if you cry for discernment and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godly ones. He will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good response, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, and discretion will guard you and understanding will watch over you, deliver you from the ways of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. What's he saying? You honor your father and mother. You listen to their instructions and you'll be blessed. You'll be discerning. You'll have knowledge. You'll have understanding and you'll be delivered from the way of evil. You want your kids to be blessed? You want to be blessed? Honor your parents. You'll have a quality of life. Secondly, you'll have a quantity of life. You'll have a quantity of life. Verse 3 says that you may live long on the earth. You want to live long? You want a long life? You want a life that's blessed by God? And you want to add not only life to your years, but years to your life? Honor authority. Honor your parents. You'll live longer. Now, you need to understand that this is not an ironclad guarantee. This is a proverbial statement. There are times when there are kids who don't respect their parents that live long, and there are other occasions where kids do respect their parents but don't live long. This is not an ironclad guarantee, but it's a general promise. You honor your parents, you'll have a long life. Which makes sense. Your kids say, don't play with fire. If you play with fire, you're going to probably burn yourself and die. Your kids tell you, be careful when you drive. If you don't follow that instruction, you're going to have an accident. Don't play with guns. That's good advice. Buckle your seatbelt. Don't take drugs. There's wise counsel in your parents' instructions to you. And if you follow their counsel, you will live longer. So see what he's saying. Disobedience to parents and dishonoring them leads to all kinds of problems. Or honoring them and obeying them as a young person and still honoring them as an older person will bring life to your years and years to your life. I trust you see God's blessing in this. He's telling us how to have his blessing upon our life. So teach your kids this and model this for your kids in the way you treat your parents. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for these clear instructions. Strengthen us, please, Lord, to fulfill the commands as you've given them here. Lord, we pray for the children of this church that they will respect their parents, honor them as the authority that you've given them to be. We pray for all of us as adults, Lord, that we will still maintain a heart of respect and attitude towards our parents, even if they're gone, even in how we speak about them. And Father, may the result of that be your blessing upon our life for your glory and honor. We pray in your Son's name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon presented at Maranatha Bible Church in Comstock Park, Michigan, where we exist to display God's glory, declare God's truth, delight in God's Son, and disciple God's people. No part of this digital file may be reproduced or distributed without prior written consent. For permission, go to mbcmi.org.